you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
On this edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast, we catch up with 49ers CEO Jed York from the NFL owners meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. On Monday, it was a big day for the NFL owners as they voted 31-1 to allow the Raiders to move to Las Vegas. So they'll be leaving the Bay Area in just a couple of seasons. What kind of impact will that have on the 49ers? We'll talk to Jed York about that and also the upcoming season and how things are different now with John Lynch as general manager and Kyle Shanahan as the head coach. Jed York from Poolside coming up on the 49ers Insider Podcast. Well, Jed, thanks for joining me on the podcast here from Arizona, site of the owners' meetings. How are things going?
Everything's good. It's obviously an exciting day today and an ever-changing NFL.
Yeah, so an ever-changing NFL means that the Oakland Raiders will cease being the Oakland Raiders in a couple of years. Is this, you know, first off, you got to feel bad for the Raiders fans in the Bay Area who have been through this once before.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting with the Raiders, obviously, leaving Oakland once to go to Los Angeles, coming back to Oakland. And if you look at what has transpired in Oakland since they've returned, I don't know that it met anybody's expectations, whether it was the city and the county, whether it was the Raiders looking at attendance and things like that. And I think it was very, very difficult for both sides to figure out any type of long-term stadium solution, which is obviously what drove them to look outside of their market.
So does this have an impact on the 49ers? I mean, clearly you guys voted for the move 31-1 with the Dolphins being the only team to vote against it. What kind of impact does the Raiders moving have on the 49ers?
I mean, I think the easy thing is to say that this is a great financial gain for the 49ers, which just isn't the case. I mean, when they were gone before, when they were in L.A., we won – I don't remember exactly what year they came back, but we won at least three, if not four, Super Bowls during that period of time. And you didn't see a huge increase in ticket revenue, sponsorship revenue. I mean, even in terms of just overall exposure in the market, because I think the Raiders fans and the 49ers fans are just a different group of folks. And I think the Raiders fans, they're not necessarily loyal to a certain geographic location. They're loyal to the Raiders, and I think you'll see those fans follow the Raiders to Las Vegas.
Yeah, so the Raiders moved away from 82 to 94, so that would have been four Super Bowls. Yeah. 91 would have been the 49ers' first Super Bowl. And so have you studied that? I mean, you weren't, you know, working daily with the 49ers at that point, but did you go back and look and try to figure out what the impact was on the 49ers franchise?
I mean, the data that you have is certainly not the same data that is available today. But when you look at ticket revenue, there was no spike when you look back. There was no spike in ratings and things like that for the 49ers. And again, I think those things aren't going to change significantly this time when the Raiders move to Las Vegas. I think the only thing that's going to really change for us is some of the philanthropic outreach that we do, being able to do more things in the East Bay and sort of extending some of the programs that we've started, obviously, in San Francisco and along the peninsula in San Jose.
And so you're talking about the 49ers Foundation and some of the outreach programs that you guys do centered on the peninsula, San Francisco, and the South Bay. How quickly do you start to put together a plan to, you know, go into the East Bay?
I don't know that it's necessarily putting a plan together to go into the East Bay. I think we've always just been respectful of that's really been the Raiders' territory, even though we've got 20%+ of our season ticket holders that come from Alameda County. You know, I just think it's being able to do some of the things that we've done in some of the underserved communities in San Francisco, along the peninsula, in the South Bay, and just being able to do more of those things in the East Bay.
So, you know, you guys own California. I mean, when you guys went to Los Angeles, in December, it seemed like a home game. How did that come about, you think, where the 49ers became the team of California? Now, you know, there's so much flux with all the other California teams. San Diego is now, you know, the Chargers now in Los Angeles. No other NFL team has been able to grab any kind of foothold in California.
I think a lot of it goes to the great things that Bill and my uncle started in the late 70s and early 80s. And obviously there's a connection to the fan base throughout California. And I mean, you see it when you travel with us. Even we didn't have a great record last year, there's still a lot of 49er fans, even when you go to Carolina and you go to other places, because we've been, you know, one of the top teams in the National Football League for a long period of time. And I think people are excited about the 49ers. I think they're excited about, you know, Kyle and John and things like that. But, you know, we try to reach out to our fan base. And I give a lot of credit to Al Guido and even, you know, his predecessors of trying to connect with the fan base wherever we play, wherever we go. And I think that has a lasting effect that certainly helps the team in the long run.
What has been the relationship between the 49ers and the Raiders through the years? How have you and Mark Davis, have you worked together on any things? What's your relationship like with Mark?
Well, I mean, when you go all the way back to the beginning of my family being involved, you know, Al Davis was the person that really brokered the deal between the Morabito family and my grandfather. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Davis, and certainly anything that we can do to be helpful with Mark, we try to have a really professional relationship, and if we can help each other, we certainly try to do that. You know, I think we'll continue to do things together in terms of being partners, and it remains to be seen how that all works together with the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, of sort of what we do in the long run with them in the Bay Area.
When you guys got Levi's Stadium off the ground, it was built as a two-team stadium, clearly with an eye, with the door open for the Raiders. Whatever happened? Was there ever any conversations with the Raiders about joining Levi's Stadium as a tenant?
Those started back when Amy Trask was still with the team and obviously working for Mr. Davis. And you know, they had very little interest at that time of doing anything in the South Bay. They really focused on the East Bay and staying in Oakland specifically. We've had the conversation with Mark, but as the stadium was up and running in Santa Clara and Levi's was really going, and it really is the 49ers stadium, I think there was just a little hesitancy of, you know, truly being a tenant in somebody else's stadium, which certainly makes sense that wasn't really high on their priority list.
So, I mean, was there ever a point where you looped them in or said, hey, if you want any kind of input on construction or, you know, the color scheme or anything like that?
I mean, we talked to Amy and Mr. Davis about that a ways back, and they just had very little interest in even entering in those discussions. So once we sort of built Levi's Stadium the way we did, and obviously having a red-themed stadium for the 49ers and building it mainly as a 49ers-centric stadium, I don't think it became very palatable for Mark and his team to really look at that as a great option for them long term.
So what about now? The Raiders have a lease at the Coliseum for 2017 and 2018. Mark Davis talked about 2019 being kind of up in the air. Maybe they extend it for a year at the Coliseum. Would the door be open for the Raiders to come to Levi's Stadium for one season?
Well, I mean, I know from Mark, I think he said pretty clearly that he'd like to stay in Oakland and certainly like to stay in the East Bay, and we'd want to be helpful with him in that. And if that was an opportunity, we'd certainly sit down and discuss it. But I think there are a lot of moving pieces right now that it's really conjecture to talk about 2019 at this point when they'd still obviously prefer to be at the Coliseum.
Well, let's talk about 2017 with the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of changes. When you walk into the building now, what do you think with Kyle Shanahan as the head coach and John Lynch as the general manager?
I'm very excited, and you know, I think it's easy for people to say that they want to build the right way and find the right guys on and off the field, but I think the 13 guys that we signed, I think that's the right number. We've certainly done a lot in free agency this year. That's really what they focused on, is making sure that the guys fit the mold on and off the field. And listening to John and Kyle talk together, watching them, even though John was really the only one that had a direct link to Bill, and Bill played, you know, who was his coach his senior year at Stanford, they both have such deep Bill Walsh roots. And you can see it in sort of how they formulate their opinions and their decisions and their mentality that they believe in the 49ers foundation of what Bill started. And they obviously have gone in their own direction. They've seen different ways to do things. They've been around different people in their careers. But I think the foundation really started with the Bill Walsh philosophy of how you build an organization, which just makes it so much easier to communicate. It makes it so much easier to go out and build a franchise and build an organization because they do want to do this and win with class on and off the field.
Did you know John Lynch before this process, you know, before Kyle? Probably, I think Kyle came to you, right, after John had maybe reached out to him and said, hey, this is a guy that we need to consider?
So we had met a few times before, but I mean, it was more at NFL cocktail parties and saying hello, but we didn't have a deep relationship.
But he just seems, I mean, very first impression of him is, I mean, he's one impressive guy.
He's Captain America. I mean, he's so impressive. And, you know, I think the first person we signed, you know, Earl Mitchell, you know, Earl was obviously recruited in free agency by multiple teams. And John just has a way of being able to communicate and being able to get people to come together. And I thought that was a great example of who John Lynch is. You know, John is able to take what Kyle's looking for and disseminate that to the scouts and say, okay, this is exactly what Kyle wants at every single position. It has allowed Kyle to really focus on building out his staff and making sure he's implementing the right things offensively, defensively, special teams. So then when we actually go out and execute free agency, you know, they know exactly what Kyle wants, and John is able to actually bring that to Kyle, and it just it's seamless integration in terms of how to build your franchise.
You mentioned Earl Mitchell as a guy who wanted to be with the 49ers. Had the 49ers lost some of the panache over the last couple of years of maybe free agents not wanting to come, or were you guys just not going after free agents?
I mean, I think typically we have not been a big free agent spending team. And even when you look at this season, we added a lot of players, but there weren't a lot of high-priced players. And I don't know that we're typically going to be that team that goes out and spends the most money on one or two people. And I think what we tried to do this year was try to find the right people that fit what we were trying to do, the culture that we were trying to build. So it's certainly a similar approach to free agency that you want to build through the draft and supplement through free agency, but obviously at a 2-14 team, you need to turn some things over and start building the identity that your coach and general manager really want. And I think that's what this free agency was about.
We're sitting out here at the pool at the owners' meetings, but the last, for, this is going to be a stupid pun, but the last couple of years haven't exactly been a pool party for the 49ers. How difficult has it been?
No, I mean, they haven't been a pool party, but I think my approach is always be aggressive, try to shoot for the stars, try to make sure that you're shooting for, I don't want to be a 9-7 team. You know, that's just not what I'm aiming to do. And if you make mistakes, make them quickly, learn from them and move on. And I think we certainly made mistakes with our last two hires. And I think Kyle is going to be a great addition to this team and to this franchise and somebody that we can build around for the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. And that's really what I'd like to do. The more that you can stay stable and the more that you can have the same people that are running your organization, the better chance you have for long-term sustained success. And that's really what we're looking at. And I think we have the right people to really build this franchise from the football perspective.
Did Kyle, did John, did they ask for 6-year contracts?
I talked to Kyle about that very early on. And obviously you're not allowed to negotiate when you're doing interviews. But I made it very clear that, you know, we've had instability and I wanted to make sure that he knew that, you know, this was something that I was looking for, that I wanted to make sure that from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, from a fan standpoint, that they know that we are committed to these people for a long period of time. And once you started getting into that conversation and then talking to John, which we hired John before we hired Kyle, I think we
theoretically.
Not theoretically. I mean, like, you weren't allowed to do anything, but I think we decided that we would like to hire Kyle before John. And it was sitting down with John and said, you know, this is my vision for the head coach. And I think it makes sense that we're doing the same thing for the general manager and linking you two up and making sure you're here for a long period of time together.
And when you're interviewing Kyle or anybody, I would assume you have a pretty good indication whether that person's going to accept a job offer.
You know, I mean, I tell this story about Kyle, and I don't know if I've told it publicly, but the first time that we met, you know, Kyle had 3 or 4 interviews in 2 days, and I mean, everything was kind of jam-packed. And we were later at night, and, you know, we're trying to fly different places. He's trying to meet with different people. And, you know, obviously we had talked to his father the last two seasons, and his father was a finalist for our job two seasons in a row. And, you know, Kyle was actually discussed potentially being Jimmy T's offensive coordinator, and he decided to go somewhere else. So, you know,
I didn't know that.
So you didn't know quite how things were going to go sitting down with somebody in that situation. And I said, you know, I was looking for a coach who was going to be here for a longer period of time. And I said, you know, honestly, if your dad said that he wanted to bring you as his coordinator, and that was kind of the succession plan, I said maybe things would have gone differently. I don't know. And we got into that conversation. And when it sort of broke off where Brian and Prague left and sort of left the two of us, I mean, I let him know very, very clearly that he was at the very top end of our list. And it was one of those situations where, you know, we kind of shook hands, and it was one of those things like, you know, do you bro hug here? Do you not bro hug? Like, what are you doing? And, you know, I wanted to kind of play it cool, so you didn't do the bro hug right then. But it was clear that we had a chemistry and a connection, and that the 49ers mean something to Kyle. You know, I mean, some of his formative years being there with his dad when we won our last Super Bowl, it means something to him. And being able to follow his dad's footsteps and be in a place where he has some roots and knows the history, knows the players, that really connected with me. And obviously, I think his coaching ability speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, he was the hottest candidate, the most qualified candidate, I believe, out there. You know, an offensive genius. And that's, you know, comes from a lot of people around the league. John Lynch, however, no experience. But the thing that I think kind of, you know, initially the reaction I think around the league was, what the heck are the 49ers doing? But then you see, you know, he brings in Adam Peters. He brings in Martin Mayhew. So he's surrounded himself with some very good people.
Well, I mean, it's easy to look on the surface and say, well, he has no experience. I mean, that's just not true. You know, I mean, John has always wanted to be in a front office, and I think he said it pretty clearly that he missed the scoreboard. You know, he loved being around the game through broadcasting, but he missed the scoreboard. So when he was an announcer and an analyst with Fox, I mean, you can tell that the relationship that he and Kyle had started because John did more homework than anybody else that Kyle talked to. You know, I mean, he knew the game deeper. He watched film in a different way. But John also took that when John Elway invited him into the Broncos a few years ago and walked him through an offseason, walked him through a draft, and John was a part of those things. So John was always thinking about what does it look like to be, you know, a general manager of a team, and he was preparing himself for those things. And I think, you know, John is a great ambassador of the game. He's a great ambassador for the 49ers. But like you said, it wasn't like, hey, you know what, I know everything about scouting. He said, no, I'm gonna hire two people that are really good at this and Martin and Adam and put these guys together and put the best team around me so that I don't have to be the only person that's watching film and be the guy that it's my way or the highway. He has a great group of people around him. And also, I think we have a great group of staff in terms of our college scouts and our pro scouts that he's leaned on. And I think, you know, they feel really good about going into this draft. And obviously, I think we did a good number in free agency.
Yeah, so you guys kept it under wraps that he was interviewing up until when the announcement was made. Did you guys reach out to John Elway, or I mean, did anybody else outside that building know? You know, did you ask people about John Lynch?
I mean, it was hard to do diligence and keep it quiet, and we definitely did diligence. I don't want to share all the folks that we reached out to, but we definitely did diligence. And you know, it's not easy to keep things quiet in the NFL and under wraps, especially something that's that high level. But we were certainly able to do a lot of research on him from folks that we know. And, I mean, you get to feel comfortable with John very, very quickly when you meet him in person.
So this is his first owners' meetings. You're here. What else is on the itinerary for the owners' meetings? The big one is out of the way as far as the Raiders. Anything else that kind of piques your interest?
I mean, I think there's always interesting things when you're talking about rules changes and how do you make the game better. And I think that's what the NFL does better than any other league. They're never satisfied with where the game is. They're always looking to make small changes and small tweaks to make the game safer, to make the game more exciting, to make the game better for the fans and better for the players. So it's always good to see those discussions between the general managers, head coaches, and owners, and sort of how do we continue to make sure that the NFL is the most watched and most loved sort of, you know, entertainment in America.
You mentioned safety, and you had a statement after Dwight Clark made his announcement last week. He's been a guy who's been part of the family for a long time and remains an active, you know, member of the 49ers community. You know, what's your have you stayed in contact with him? How's he doing? How are the 49er family doing?
I mean, we've definitely talked, and we've let him know, you know, privately and publicly that we're there to support him in any way, shape, and form. And I mean, you know, DC, he's such a great guy. He's such a great ambassador of the team. And I mean, without Dwight Clark, I don't know that the 49ers have 5 Super Bowls. And you know, I mean, he's somebody that it hurts when you see somebody like that that means so much to you personally and professionally, that they're going through a tough time. And he's somebody that we want to make sure that we help through this, but we also want to make sure that we do a better job as a league of understanding what's going on. So if this is something that's preventable, we do a much better job of preventing these things in the future.
And Eddie and the York family, they've, you know, planted that seed money for the Golden Heart Foundation. That's another great thing, and I guess the timing of that couldn't be any better.
I mean, and I think that's just the beginning. We definitely want to do more with the Golden Hearts Foundation. And obviously, Eddie was extremely generous with players, and we want to make sure that we continue that and make sure that we continue taking care of our guys long after they're done playing the game. And that's part of what we've discussed here. I mean, we just had a private meeting with just the owners, and one of the things that we talked about was how do we do a better job taking care of our players today and post the game, because they're the greatest ambassadors that we have. We need to continue to do a better job of reaching out with the players and making sure that not just health-wise, but financially and mentally, how do we make sure that post-playing career that they're doing well and they continue to have a great life from the National Football League experience that they have?
Well, hey, Jed, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you joining me here at the owners' meetings. And it's I guess it's been a very exciting offseason for you. There's no such thing as an offseason, but you know, what's next for the 49ers? What's next for you as you guys prepare for the 2017 season?
I mean, it's obviously onto the draft and want to make sure that we do everything that we can to get that second pick right. And, you know, there's obviously all kinds of talk about movement here and there and everywhere, but, you know, you just need to make sure that you know the players as well as you possibly can. And obviously knowing exactly what Kyle and his staff are looking for is the first step. And then it's matching that to who fits the 49ers both on and off the field.
All right, Jed. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Matt.
And again, a big thanks to Jed York for joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast from the NFL Owners Meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you can listen to all the 49ers Insider Podcasts. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on csnbayarea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.